Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First on the docket, Chad DeBell's attorney has filed a motion to dismiss all charges. Why that won't happen. Second, Ron Jeremy is probably never getting out of prison. Third, a pregnant mom vanishes and her mother suspects the baby's father, who has a girlfriend. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day. Thanks for watching. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. First, before we get to the docket, let's remind you tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, we are going live. And then after that, we will be doing our Patreon group live as well, where you can actually call in and we'll discuss what is on our subscribers, our Patreon subscribers' minds. You don't want to miss it. Sign up for your Patreon membership today. All right, first on the docket, Chad DeBell. As we know, the now spouse of Lori Vallow, who is probably safer in custody than if he was out of custody, particularly if Lori Vallow was out of custody. Well, he had his preliminary hearing a couple weeks ago. You can hit the link below. That will take you to the preliminary hearing if you would like to watch it in its entirety with some brilliant commentary by me as you go through it. Well, the matter has been set for trial, which doesn't go until after the first of the year. Well, motions are coming due in this particular case, and according to the Idaho rules of procedure, basically 35 days from the date of the arraignment to file any motions. Well, John Pryor, the attorney for Chad DeBell, has filed a motion to dismiss with the district court judge, and the basis of his motion is that there was not sufficient evidence presented at the preliminary hearing that was heard on August 3rd and 4th, and therefore the matter should go away. Now, there are the four felony counts, conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration or concealment of evidence, and two felony counts of destruction, alteration or concealment of evidence. At the preliminary hearing, a magistrate judge by the name of Judge Eddins determined that the special prosecutor, Ron Wood, had presented enough evidence for the case to be bound over to the district court. Now, let's get something straight. If I had filed a motion to dismiss in every case, I would be laughed at. I would have no credibility with the judge whatsoever. Most clients believe that, why don't you just file a motion to dismiss for lack of evidence, or that the complaining witness is an absolute untrustworthy individual. That's not the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. Really, the only one that can file a motion to dismiss is the prosecutor. The defense can file it. You can file a motion for anything, but it's going to be denied. The preliminary hearing was the hearing to be used as a screening device to make sure that probable cause existed. Now, we've talked about this lots of times here on Crime Talk. That preliminary hearing is simply a hearing where, in most cases, the detective gets up and regurgitates what's in the affidavit for the arrest warrant, where the judge has previously found probable cause. It's very unlikely that another judge is going to not find probable cause unless the prosecutor fails to present some evidence to support each allegation that they are alleging in the complaint and information. So, very highly unlikely. I would probably fall out of my chair in shock if this judge granted the motion to dismiss filed by the district attorney. The judge will more than likely say, I appreciate this, but this is a determination that I am not going to make. There's probable cause. This is a question of fact now for the jury to decide. The legal standard has been met. The jury will decide if Chad DeBell and Lori Vallow are guilty of the delay, destruction, hindrance of evidence related to the deaths of JJ and Ty Lee. The judge is not going to step in as a 13th juror and says, yep, insufficient evidence, make this case go away. Not going to happen. He's not going to make that legal determination. He's going to say, denied. You had your day in court. The judge found probable cause. I'm not going to disturb it. This is a matter for the jury to hear. We'll see what happens. I've been wrong before, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong on this time. I don't believe that I'm going to be wrong on this issue. Next on the docket, Ron Jeremy. Now, Ron Jeremy has been an adult entertainment star for decades. Well, apparently he cannot keep his hands off other women. That's right. He has been charged and being held in custody, and now he has been charged with 20 additional counts of sexual assault involving 13 women, including lewd conduct with a 15-year-old girl. The charges now include 6 counts of sexual battery by restraint, 5 counts of forcible rape, 3 counts of forcible oral copulation, and 2 counts of forcible penetration by a foreign object, and 1 count each of sodomy and assault with intent to commit rape. Those charges were brought against Mr. Jeremy Monday in court. That brings the number of alleged victims up to 17. Some of these alleged incidents date back to 2004, and Mr. Jeremy, who's actually 67 years old, has pled not guilty through his attorney and wants the matter to proceed to trial. If Mr. Jeremy does go to trial and loses, he faces more than 250 years to life in state prison. Now, given the fact that he is 67 years old, obviously, I don't think he's going to make the 250 years. He has got a difficult road ahead of him. Next on the docket, a mom-to-be vanishes a day before her sonogram, and her mother suspects the baby's father, who reportedly had a girlfriend. Wow. Have we ever seen this kind of situation before? Now, we're going to give everyone that we discuss on this show and all of our shows the presumption of innocence, and that presumption will remain with them until and if they either plead guilty or are found guilty by a jury trial. However, have we heard this scenario once or twice? That's right. A pregnant Washington woman was looking forward to her first sonogram. She was excited to see whether she was in fact carrying twins. Well, guess what? She has vanished and has not been seen since August 25th. The young woman's name is Cassandra Cantrell. She's from Parkland, Washington, and she never made it to her sonogram appointment, and no one has seen her since. There's been no social media activity. There's been no activity on her debit or credit cards as well. The cell phone has been pinged by authorities and was last pinged near Vashon Island, but other than that, no activity. Clearly would make someone believe that something is not right. Miss Cantrell's mother stated she wouldn't have missed this for the world. It doesn't make sense for her to be gone at all. Miss Cantrell's mother stated that she saw her daughter early in the morning of August 25th as she was heading off to work. About an hour later, a security camera caught Cantrell driving away in her 2014 Mazda. Miss Cantrell was apparently going to go grocery shopping at some point where they believe that she was headed that Tuesday morning. There's no record or any sort of video documentation that she ever showed up at the grocery store that she normally visits. The police found Miss Cantrell's Mazda on August 27th, parked underneath the overpass of Highway 705, a few blocks from the Tacoma Dome. Police are checking and have asked other businesses to check security footage for any sightings of Miss Cantrell or her car. Miss Cantrell's mother believes that the father of the baby may somehow be involved, although authorities have not given his name and have not been listed as a suspect. As we have stated, we will give everyone the presumption of innocence. If anyone has seen Miss Cantrell, she is described as a white woman who stands 5'7" tall and weighs about 180 pounds. She has brown hair and blue eyes. If someone has seen her or believes they've seen her, they should contact 911 immediately. Hopefully, Miss Cantrell is okay, and maybe just needed a little time to herself. Let me know what you think. Obviously, we've seen this play out way too many times before. Let's take a quick recess before we continue with the docket. Ladies and gentlemen, I've urged you. You all have responded. It's amazing how many people have signed up for the background subscription service. Go to crimetalksearch.com so that you can search as many people as you want anonymously. And in that search, you will literally searching records of millions of public records throughout the United States. And a report will be generated while you wait. It will include social media information, phone number information, email information associated with the person that you are in fact searching. It will include criminal history, including sex offender registration. It will include information regarding property records, more importantly, marital records, whether there's any civil judgments out there. Find out who you are dealing with. Don't be the victim of some sort of fraud or deception that someone is feeding you. Go get the information yourself. And if you have any doubts, if you've ever wondered if what someone is telling you is true, you need to go to crimetalksearch.com and sign up for our background subscription service. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be absolutely happy you did. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Meet our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, although we have some issues related to his story. Christopher Sale, he was 61 and apparently got a little hungry, a little late night. So what's the logical thing to do? Jump in your car and go down to Taco Bell, right? Well, what should you do if all your clothes are in the laundry, as Mr. Sales told the police officers? That's right. You just jump in the car and go through the drive-through naked. And that's what Mr. Sale did. And that's what got him in trouble. Now, when Sale pulled up in his 2021 Ford Ranger at the drive-thru window to pay for his order, a 41-year-old employee looked in the vehicle and immediately noticed that he was completely naked. Despite Mr. Sale's nudity, the Taco Bell worker accepted payment from him and gave him his food. However, the employee told the police that she believed Sale then sought to extend the encounter by asking her to add a taco to his already completed order. The Taco Bell employee told the police that she had no desire to continue any contact with the nude patron, Mr. Sale, and that another employee completed the contact. The second worker, a 26-year-old woman, provided Sale with the additional taco. She too told police, clearly and easily seen Mr. Sale's genitals from her perch in the drive-thru window. After receiving the second taco, Mr. Sale still did not leave and asked for additional sauces, which she provided. And then Mr. Sale asked for some more napkins. He then pulled away in his pickup truck. Mr. Sale, not being satisfied with his tacos, the additional taco, the salsa, and the napkins, returned and to the order speaker and asked for even more sauces. Both of the female victims at that point believed that Sale wanted to continue the exposure of the incidents. A police officer responded to the Taco Bell based upon the 911 call and met with Mr. Sale. He was still completely nude, although he did have a bath towel, as the police officer noted, in the passenger side floorboard. Mr. Sale, upon his arrest, made an excited utterance and stated, quote, "I didn't know it was against the law to drive naked," end quote. That's where he stated that his clothes were all in the washer and he simply got hungry. Apparently, during the ride to the police station, Mr. Sale simply could not stop talking about how unfair this situation was, claiming that his genital area was covered with a green towel the entire time. Well, Mr. Sale will have plenty of time to explain that to his attorney and possibly a jury, as he's been charged with felony indecent exposure. Mr. Sale, this is a teachable moment. Yes, you can walk around your house naked. You can even drive naked. But as soon as somebody sees your private parts, yes, you are potentially committing a crime. Do not expose yourself to other people unless they know and want you to do that. Otherwise, it is a possible felony, could be a misdemeanor in lots of jurisdictions, but simply do not do it. Some people take offense to seeing other people's genitalia, particularly while they're serving food. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. This was a quick edition of Crime Talk today because we are going live at 6 p.m. tonight. Hope to see you there. Hope to see all of our Patreon members shortly after we go live to continue the conversation. If you haven't done so, please sign up as a Patreon member. You don't have to, but we would sure like to see you there as well. Have a great day. Thanks for watching.